And we need to combat that. So in my preparing for this trip to Israel, I, of course, looking a lot at Jerusalem, and it led me to this thought, actually. So I want to have us to look today in Revelation chapter number 21. I'll be as quickly as I can. Revelation chapter number 21, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In Revelation chapter 22, he said, he showed me a pure river of water, of light, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Father, help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm thinking about this new Jerusalem and the old Jerusalem. You know, the Bible talks about in Galatians chapter number 4. By the way, let me say this. When you go back and you're in the book of Genesis and you find where Sarah says, what is that, chapter 16, I think, where Sarah, they've already panicked and their faith, Abraham and Sarah's faith has waned, and she gave Hagar to Abram, right, and they've had this son that he should have never had, Ishmael. And she says to Abram, let my wrong be upon thee. Well, we know her wrong is Ishmael, right? And we can trace the lineage of Ishmael, who is descended, settled in what is present-day Saudi Arabia. And when you get to Galatians chapter number 4, within that chapter, you see Hagar versus Sarah, you see Ishmael versus Isaac, and you see Arabia versus Jerusalem. Amen. And there's always been that contention which neighbors should have never been. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 25, you see where the Bible speaks of the Jerusalem that now is. And when you get to chapter 4 verse 26, you read about the Jerusalem which is above. There is a Jerusalem now. In 2 weeks, we'll be in that Jerusalem. But we're looking for a Jerusalem that is above and a Jerusalem that is to come. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 22 talks about that heavenly Jerusalem. And if there is a heavenly Jerusalem, there must be an earthly Jerusalem. And we know there is, right? There is the two. John saw that holy city, New Jerusalem. And we know if there is a New Jerusalem, of course, we must contrast that with the Old Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, Old Jerusalem, Heavenly Jerusalem, Earthly Jerusalem, Jerusalem that now is, and the Jerusalem that is above, the Jerusalem that is to come. Something I find very fascinating, I'm thinking it is... help me now, John chapter number 2, is it? We know John 14, but John 2, let me look there for, yes, John chapter number 2, Jesus is in Jerusalem. And Jesus is in the temple at Jerusalem, and he calls it my Father's house. Does he not? He says, he said in verse 16, and said unto them, that so doves, take these things hit and make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. What was he doing in John chapter 2 in what he called my father's house? He was driving them out. Verse number 15. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out. He drove them out of his father's house in old Jerusalem. Is that not right? But I find it fascinating when we get to chapter number 14, we find where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Here we have in John chapter 14, he's referring again to his Father's house, but he's not talking about his Father's house in old Jerusalem. He's talking about a heavenly Jerusalem. He's talking about a Father's house which is above. Amen. And instead of driving out, he's inviting us in. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad our Heavenly Father is inviting us in to that heavenly new Jerusalem? What I love about that, according to what we read here in the book of Revelation, are the things that won't be there. Notice he said there'll be, what is this, chapter 21. He says there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. He says in chapter 22, no more curse. And he says there's no more night. Well, thank God, hallelujah, for no more death. Amen. Jesus went to old Jerusalem. Jesus went to the Jerusalem that now is, and he died. So that he could take us. I'm thinking about Matthew chapter number 16, where Jesus took those disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. Remember that? And he said, who do men say that I am? And they gave him that list of various folks that the people believed Jesus to be. But then Jesus asked that wonderful question, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for his flesh and blood is not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven, right? And then it goes on to say that Jesus, from that time in verse number 21, began to tell his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In John chapter number 12, we have Jesus where in verse 12, he's in Jerusalem. In verse 32, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, we'll draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. We know and we rejoice that Jesus went to old Jerusalem, went outside of the city, and hung on Calvary's cross and gave his life for you and I. Jesus died at the Jerusalem that now is, so you and I could be taken to a new Jerusalem which is above. Had Jesus not died, had Jesus not shed his blood, had Jesus not resurrected, you and I wouldn't have any hope. Amen. I'm preaching this morning on the gospel according to Jerusalem. I'm telling you, it's good news. Jesus died so I don't have to. Jesus suffered so I don't have to. Jesus resurrected so I can have blessed hope in a land far away. Somebody help me. Thank God for what Jesus has done. That's the good news. Amen. Not only is there no death, there is no sorrow. My goodness, we love Isaiah 53, do we not? Isaiah 53 is that chapter that the rabbis all around the world are skipping. If rabbis around the world would only deal with Isaiah 53, Jewish people would get born again all over the world. I'm not a dual covenant theologist. I do not believe Jewish people are saved because of a covenant. If that was the case, Jesus would not have told Nicodemus, you must be born again. If that was the case, Paul wouldn't be burdened by his people getting saved. Somebody help me. Jewish people need to be born again. Isaiah 53 is laden with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they'd only teach it, they'd get saved. Somebody help me. You know that's right. Isaiah 53 describes Jesus as a man being despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What was it? What was it where the Bible describes in, what is it, Mark 14, where Jesus went that stone's throw away from Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible describes that he became exceeding sorrowful. I'm telling you, nobody's ever sorrowed like Jesus. Nobody's sorrow was as deep as Jesus. It seems as though he was immersed in grief, immersed in an ocean of sorrow. He was a man of sorrow, thank God. He became a man of sorrows so that he could be touched with the feelings of my own infirmities. Amen. Jesus came to Ojah. What I think about that song, Man of Sorrows. What a name for the Son of God who came to ruin sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. I'm glad Jesus came to old Jerusalem and became a man of sorrow so he could take us to a place where there'll never be a day of sorrow. Some of you in this room tonight have suffered some sorrow that I know nothing of. I'm telling you, my wife and I got married back in 1993. 3 weeks after we got married, her daddy passed away. And 2 years later, when my dad passed away, I went back to her and apologized. I said, I had no idea how hurt you were. I had no idea your grief. I had no idea your sorrow. I didn't know how to help you. I'm sorry that I wasn't more of a help and kind and ministering to you. I had no idea. Well, neighbor, some of you have gone to depths of sorrow that I have no idea. Brother Patton, oh, I have no idea what the grief that you and your family have suffered in the loss of a child. I don't want to ever know. Some of you have given us spouses. Some of you have faced things I've never faced. Sorrow. You've gone through sorrow. Jesus knows. Oh, and the good news, there is a land that is awaiting us where there'll be no more sorrow, no more grief, no more bad phone calls, no more tragedies, no more long drives to the hospital, no more sorrow, no more sleepless nights. Hallelujah. No more missing loved ones. No more. Thank God, no more. That's the message we're trying to preach to this world. They're living in a land of sorrow. We're trying to help them how to escape. Hallelujah. My goodness. Keep up the preaching. Don't stop. This world needs your message. Amen. Not only is there no more death and no more sorrow, but he said, look, there's no more crying. Luke 19, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. John 11, Jesus wept by the grave of Lazarus. In Hebrews chapter 5, I love this. Hebrews chapter number 5, talking about Jesus being our high priest. Hebrews chapter number 5, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. I'm glad we've got a high priest that is whip over you and I. Amen. And I don't know if Revelation chapter 21 talking about how there'll be no more crying. I don't know if it's necessarily talking about that or if it's talking about the crying out. As Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he cried out to his Father. Or when he was hanging on the cross when he cried out, my God, my God. Or when he was hanging on the cross when he said, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. But I know this. Jesus came to old Jerusalem and cried so that I could go to a land where there'll never be another tear and never be another crying out. I'm telling you, I've called in my secret place and cried out. I won't be doing that in glory. I'll not do that in New Jerusalem. I'll never find a place where I cry out in despair, where I cry out for help or cry out for mercy. I'll not need it. I'll be there. Somebody help me. Amen. My goodness. No more pain. Can you imagine the pain where Jesus was buffeted? They plucked his beard from his face. They spat in his face. They smote him. They crowned him with that crown of thorns, and with that heavy reed they drove those those thorns like nails into our Savior's scalp. They tied him to a whipping post and beat his back like a farmer plowing furrows in the land. Somebody help me. There's no way you and I could imagine the physical pain, and not to mention the spiritual pain of being made, he who knew no sin, being made to be sin for us, and suffering at Calvary at old Jerusalem so that he could take us to a place where there'll be no more aches and no more pains and no more hurt. Amen. Huh? We all deal with the baldness and the bifocals and the bulges and the bowed knees and the bunions and all of those things, right? And I get out of the bed, and this is a horrible reference, but I look like Fred Sanford crossing the floor in the mornings, I'm telling you. If you don't know who Fred Sanford is, good. I mean, but that's what I look like getting out of bed in the morning. Buddy, I'm telling you, my body eat up with arthritis. I'm going to a place where I don't have to worry about that. Amen. But everybody in this room knows there's pain that's worse than physical. There have been some times I've hurt on the inside where I wish my leg was broke. Amen. There have been spiritual pains and emotional pain that hurt far worse than a broke leg. Amen. But I'm going to a land where there is no more pain. Somebody ought to rejoice in that. Jesus has suffered for us. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And then he said this, there's no more curse. Amen. Well, here's what I like. Everybody take your Bible and go to the book of Malachi. I want everybody to find the very last chapter in the book of Malachi. Malachi is the very last book in the Old Testament in our Bibles. And you go to Malachi, you go to the very last chapter 4 of the book of Malachi, go to the very last verse of the very last chapter, you go to the very last word of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament ends with the word curse. That old economy was ended with curse. There is a curse, and there's going to be a curse. But when we get to Revelation chapter 22, the very last chapter of the Bible, the very last chapter in the New Testament, the very last chapter of the new economy, Jesus said, no more curse. The old left you with a curse. The old left you with a curse. But the new has left you with no curse. I have come to old Jerusalem to take the curse away. Amen. I became a curse for you, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He took our curse so that he could say to you and I, no more curse. No more curse. I'm saving your... That's the good news. I'm saving you to save you from the curse. Amen. Is that right? My goodness. And then he said this, no more night. No more night. No more darkness. No more long nights where weeping may endure for the night, but we can only hope that joy cometh in the morning. No more of that. No more of that. No more of those dark, lonely, dark nights, hoping and waiting and enduring. We've been preaching for some time out of Psalms 134 about the night shift and how that all of us, it is our lot in life on occasion to have to work the night shift. We go through seasons of darkness. We go through seasons where we don't understand why this is happening to me. We go through seasons where we don't understand really what God is doing. And it's not that God is mad. It's just your lot to pull the night shift. No more of that. No more night. No more darkness. No more despair, no more loneliness, no more enduring. Thank God Jesus came to old Jerusalem and died at Calvary. God turned out the lights and put them in utter darkness for 3 hours while Jesus suffered our hell. Can you imagine? Jesus did in 3 hours what you and I could not do in an eternity in hell. In old Jerusalem. So that he could take us to a new Jerusalem. Where there's no more night. That's the good news. Amen. That's the gospel according to Jerusalem. Amen. That's the message that every individual in the planet needs to hear. Amen. Everybody needs to know that Jesus paid it all. Amen. All to Him I owe. Amen. Sin has left a crimson stain, but He has washed it white as snow. Amen. Several years ago, my family and I were traveling, headed from one meeting to another meeting. We were going through North Carolina. I stopped off in Charlotte, And we were just walking through the streets. We were actually going to try to find a restaurant, someplace to eat. And I heard way down the street a voice. And the closer I got, it was just a man standing on the corner. He had a rack of gospel tracts and other literature. And he was standing on the corner hollering, "Good news! Good news!" One of the best street preachers I've ever heard in my life. All he said was, "Good news!" And that corner was full of people just taking his good news. I've got good news. Hallelujah. And we're going to keep preaching the good news. And I want to commend you for preaching the good news. And I want to say to you, don't get sidetracked. Don't get drug off in some other message. Stick with the good news. The gospel. Amen. The world needs the gospel. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the privilege of just opening up the pages of the Word of God, encouraging your people today. Thank you for what you've already done for us and the hope you put down in our soul. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.